I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville. Jeff, we're talking about what might be my all-time favorite topic, animals.
Absolutely.
And talking about exercising with your pet, which, I mean, we can go in a million ways with this, but especially let's take into consideration for a minute the weather that we've had lately.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, it's... I think this is probably a good topic from the standpoint of, you know, people have been bottled up, you know, and typically we don't have weather this cold. You see people out with their pets running around, and I haven't seen as many people. And Sunday, I think it was Sunday, we had such a nice weekend. I think maybe it got up to 45 or 50, and it's been sub-20s for so long.
Right.
I saw so many people out. And you forget that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that exercise with their pets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's an interesting topic, something fun to do. The cold weather has kept us all in, not out and about, but it's nice to get back out with our nice furry friends and enjoy the outdoors a little bit.
You know, we're supposed to allegedly get yet another round of winter storms next week. And it's really funny. I have four dogs, and so watching... There are two that enjoy being outdoors, and then there are two that are just like, we're going outside to go potty and then back inside. So hopefully in just a little bit, you know, we can touch on that. What
sure.
can you do? Because, I mean, I don't know about you. I subscribe to the belief that a happy dog is a well-exercised dog.
Absolutely.
I think they go hand in hand.
You know, I think you have to, you know, look at your dog as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you want to be out in that? You know, it is good to get out and get some activity. Obviously, you can't take your dog to the gym with you where you can go and run on the treadmill or lift weights or things of that nature. But you can get out for small walks, even if it's for, you know, a 15-minute walk. I mean, most of us can bundle up and walk down the street for 15 minutes or so. But you also have to take into consideration your pet. I mean, some pets... are designed. I mean, they can weather the cold very well, and some just don't have a lot of fur. You might want to consider putting a coat on them, just like you put a coat on yourself. So.
See, I was so opposed to that because I'm an animal lover.
Sure.
You know, it's not my little doll to
right.
dress up. Not that I mean, I have friends and things who do that. Not that I begrudge them, but
right.
I'm not dressing you in designer clothes. But I do right now. I am fostering a puppy, and Coco has a coat. Because it's necessity.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there are the animals it's a necessity for. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just not bred for this weather. I mean, I happen to have a Belgian Shepherd, a big coat. He would rather sit outside in sub-zero
yeah.
weather than be inside, and it baffles me. I mean, he will sit out in the yard and look at me when I call him to come in, and he just sits there. And so, but you have other dogs that are, you know, short-haired, you know, and those type of dogs are going to get colder probably a little bit quicker because they just don't have as much insulation on them. as maybe you know, some of the dogs that are bred for the cold weather. So just take that into consideration. I mean, you have to ask yourself, do you want to peel down to, you know, maybe a t-shirt and go for a 15-minute walk in 10-degree weather? Probably not.
And take those cues. I mean, the ones, even I have a German Shepherd Newfoundland mix,
mm-hmm.
and he's one of my special, my differently abled dogs, and we'll talk about him in a second. But he loves, because he has that thick coat, loves to be outside. And it was sunny the other day, and it was beautiful. Most of the snow had melted. Well, where does Zeke go? He goes where there's complete shade and the only pile of snow. And so I left him out there. 20 minutes later, I come back out, and he is loving it, but he's shaking. And
right.
so I was like, you know, I'm the authority here. I'm the parent. So time to come in.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's the things you have to, you know, take in consideration whenever mm-hmm. you have a pet. You know, do the best you can. And I mean, obviously, they're not humans, but you know, the reality of it is it's our responsibility
mm-hmm,
to
much.
Take care of them, because they're looking for us to you know, they're not out scavenging to feed themselves. We're typically feeding them and watering them, so it's our responsibility as parents,
yes.
dog parents,
right.
To take proper care. And I think you just have to, you know, notice those kind of things. I have children, and when I see my children out shivering
right.
because they've been out throwing snowballs at one another, you know, it might be time to come in and get a, you know, some hot cocoa and a snack. And so usually they come inside, and it's a, you know, same thing for, you know, for my dogs. If they've been outside and they start to shiver a little bit, I bring them back in.
And something else in particular in this weather, I don't think we do it enough. Watch the pads of their feet.
Oh, absolutely.
With the salt on the roads.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things I noticed just the other day. Whiskey goes to work with me every day.
Right.
So he's very well socialized. But I let him out back, and he runs down the alley a lot. And, you know, there was a lot of ice and salt and things that, and he, you know, I'll throw the tennis ball with him just to get some exercise during the day while I'm at work. And, you know, he came back in. I noticed that night he was limping a little bit, and I hadn't seen it before. Now, he's only 18 months old, and I pulled his right foot up, and it was, his pad was split. And had been bleeding, and I don't know if he cut it on the ice. I don't know if it was just from the salt. I don't know if it was out running, slipping and sliding around, you know, on the pavement.
Ooh.
But he had a cut pad, so you know, I kind of, you know, he laid low for a couple days, and it healed up pretty quick, and he was back at it. So I think that's something you definitely have to take into consideration when you're going for that walk. It's, you know, the pads of their feet are like the palms of your hand, very mm-hmm. sensitive. So, you know, it goes back to the same philosophy. I mean, if you peel your shoes off and go for a walk down the street on the ice and the salt and it's going to get a little frigid and cold, and
yes.
It could get, you know, chapped or cut or things of that nature.
I think our barefoot runners are beasts, but I haven't seen too many doing that in the snow.
No, I haven't seen any out there either.
They wait for them, you know, they'll do those cold weather temperatures, but well, how about activities? When it comes to exercising your pet, how do you decide on that?
Well, you know, I think you have to know your breed a mm-hmm. little bit. And you know, whether it's, you know, a full-blooded, you know, a German Shepherd or a Belgian Shepherd or a Newfoundland or a Bulldog or whatever type of breed you have, I think you have to know kind of what is healthy for him and what's good for him. I go back to Whiskey. He's a Belgian Shepherd, so he's a shepherd, or he's a herding dog or a working dog. So for him, you know, activities, you know, he is... and he's young and he's agile.
Right.
You know, and he's a dog that, you know, can just go all day. He will wear you out. But I do try to pick and choose, you know, his activities, because there mm-hmm. are things that, you know, that he likes to do. He loves to play soccer because he's herding you. That's, you know, he loves to herd the ball around or kind of push you
right.
around. So that's kind of his thing. So I think whenever you're deciding the activities that you want to do, you have to kind of know your breed of dog, just to kind of, I mean, it's develop maybe, it's also mental stimulation for them too, because they're doing something that kind of falls into what they were bred for. So I think that's one of the things whenever you're talking activities, know your breed a little bit.
When did you realize he liked to play soccer?
Probably from the get-go. I mean, honestly, you know, I got him when he was just 8 weeks old, and he would be out in the yard, and you would, you know, kick a ball around or something of that nature, and he would just chase you, and he would chase my kids around, and he was always leaning against us, you know, or pushing us around.
That's
so
great.
You kind of realize, I mean, knowing that as a shepherd, that's kind of what he does. And he actually, it's very strange, he... likes to lead you around by pushing on you with his butt. It's not like he pushes on you with his shoulder
right?
or nips at you like some collies do yeah. or other, you know, herding dogs will nip at you. He kind of pushes at you with his hip to kind of push you where he wants you to go. So it's very interesting to watch him do that. But he enjoys it, loves it.
Well, on a side note, the Louisville Coopers are leading the charge to try to get a professional soccer team here in the Ville, hopefully playing at Slugger Field,
sure.
and they've gotten the mayor involved. So if they need a mascot,
there
I think
go.
Whiskey
could do it. He definitely loves it.
How important do you think it is to teach a dog to heal? And explain what heal means for those who may not know.
Well, I think it's extremely important, especially if you live here in the Louisville
oh, yes.
Market. You know, if you live out in the country, I think it's important anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it helps you to know and understand and control your animal a little bit. Because the last thing you want is your animal to bite somebody, to put, you know, to compromise them, but also to, you know, or to compromise that person, or also compromise the dog's well-being later. You know, part of a heal process is really just getting your dog to obey your command and listen to you and stop when they need to stop.
Right.
And if you're going to be here in this market, in the park systems, they need to listen, you know, and sometimes that's very, you know, with Whiskey, I find that difficult. He's still young, so he still gets a little carried away. But if I raise my voice enough, you know, he'll usually stop in his tracks and stop what he's doing and won't really advance any further. Because some people are just scared of dogs, and you don't want
right.
to scare them, especially if you're out and they're running around in a dog park, or maybe they get off leash. You know, some dogs get off leash on accident, or they surge out of your hand and the leash pops loose. You want to be able to get your dog back. And if they'll listen to your voice commands, they're going to stop. If they won't, they're going to keep on running. So.
You know, and I think something that kind of goes hand in hand with that, teach the dog to heal, but we also need to teach ourselves to be proper dog owners.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the majority of dog owners in this area are responsible and incredible, but it's that small population of people who decide the rules don't apply to them. And having multiple dogs and being someone who loves to exercise, I can't tell you the number of times I've had someone in a park or just a city streets who decides, well, my dog doesn't need to be on a leash. And even though that may be the best behaved dog when they're around their person, all of a sudden they see my pack and they charge.
Right. Absolutely.
Which, I mean, worst case scenario, this is going to get really ugly. But if nothing else, I mean, it's chaotic. It's scary.
Right. Yeah, it's very chaotic for, you know, if you can't control your dog, and it is, they do see other dogs and, you know, they take off, and then it becomes just a complete cluster. And trying to step in and break up that cluster is the last thing you should do. So then you just have to kind of let it play out. And then it becomes a, you know, kind of a traumatic scenario for everybody involved. Mm-hmm. I've seen plenty. I grew up on a farm, so we had dogs running around everywhere, and they would fight all the time.
Yeah.
So I've seen plenty of that. You know, one thing I learned early on from my grandfather is you never step in between them, never do anything. Either they're going to finish out or spray water on them. If you've got water, they'll usually break them up. But you're usually not going to have that in Louisville. It's not just going to be readily available. Yeah. So that, I think, as a dog owner, you have to be responsible for your pet. And you are correct. I mean, a lot of times animals aren't socialized. Mm-hmm. Dogs aren't socialized correctly. And it's difficult. I mean, some people, you know, they've got one dog and the dog's at home all the time, and they come home and they go for a walk on the leash. And so they don't get opportunities to be as socialized. But we have plenty of opportunities here around Louisville with the dog parks and stuff to let your dog be socialized with other animals. I think that is a critical piece of advice I could give to anybody. If you have a pet and you love to exercise with them, make sure they're socialized. It will save you probably some nice vet bills later.
Right. it really does. I'm fostering the puppy right now, mm-hmm. and the dogs at home, all three of them, are teaching her different behavioral techniques and what's right and what's not. I did have, though, before, I mean, I've always had dogs, taking multiple dogs and putting them, I have like one handle, and it's a really great leash because I can walk up to four dogs on this great swivel, but they become the pack mentality.
Oh, yeah.
And I call them the Yahoos. Like, I could not take them walking in the park unless we went off-road, which we did and enjoyed it. And I'd had enough and decided, we're going to try this. And taking them to the dog park, I mean, it changed our lives.
Sure, sure.
I mean, we coexist in such a different way.
Right.
And they learned, you know, the hierarchy. I couldn't... you have so many choices of where to go.
Oh, absolutely. And it's great because it's kind of fun to watch if you're a single pet owner, it's fun to watch them interact with other dogs.
Yeah.
To kind of learn and watch them, the hierarchy take place, or the games they actually play with one another, which is somewhat comical sometimes to see some of that, because there's a lot of dogs out there that are so intelligent and come up with very unique things to do with other dogs. It's quite entertaining. I actually have two dogs, Whiskey and Sparkles.
As a sigh.
As a sigh. Yeah, Sparkles. Sparkles got my daughter named Sparkles.
Aww.
It's a German Shepherd lab mix. She's brilliant dog. And Whiskey and Sparkles get in the backyard and just play and play and play and play. And they have all these games they play with one another. So they get a lot of good socialization interaction with one another. So it's a benefit. So when I do take Whiskey out, because usually Sparkles doesn't go for runs or anything, but if Whiskey goes for a run or, you know, something of that nature, usually he's pretty well socialized, heals well, listens, is a dog that I feel very comfortable that I have control over if I'm out, you know, in public settings.
And something I also love about the dog park, but also responsible pet owners. I mean, as we're exercising with our pets, just consider the paths that you're on. And I always say, I don't want to step in it, so why would, you know, someone else? And I'll be back here another time.
Exactly.
Do not forget those bags.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. That's very important. I will admit, sometimes I can be a wonderful dog owner. Sometimes I forget the bag, and I'm like, oh, I have to go back.
Yes.
That's always a fun. Yes. I always forget where it was. Magically.
Right. Oh, the sun and the rain and the
wash
snow
it away. Right. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. But that is, I think, part of being a socially responsible pet owner. And, you know, we're not perfect, but
absolutely.
Yes. Well, what about the right time of day?
You know, I think the right time of day is, and I always go back and I'll use Whiskey as an example. it's summertime, or it could be the right time of year, right time of day, however you want to look at it. Some dogs, I've seen them a few times in the park, and they're out in the middle of the day, and they're jogging, and they're running with their, you know, mastiff, or they're running with their, you know, full on, you know, maybe a German Shepherd or something like a Belgian Shepherd, and it's 95 degrees outside, and you look at that poor dog, and their tongue's hanging to the ground, and they're running along, and they start out usually pretty strong,
right?
You know, and they look good the first maybe loop around Seneca Park, around maybe the you know, the track. The second, they're maybe right next to their owners that are out front, and the third, they're usually dragging behind. And I think that's a sign that either one, your dog's fitness level isn't where yours is. So let's be realistic. I mean, our fitness level might be a little bit better than theirs because maybe they've never done it before. You know, maybe they've never run with you before. But the other part of it is it could just be the heat. I mean, it would be like you throwing on a wool jacket and going for a run in 94 degree temperature. You're not going to make it very long.
Right.
And I think it's a lot of times what we forget. You know, I usually, you know, this time of year, it's too cold for me to go run, but not too cold, but I don't enjoy it. But Whiskey would go and run and run and run because he loves it. This is his weather. He loves the cold. Summer, spring, summer, late spring, early summer, he's more lethargic. I kind of noticed that. He just likes to lay around the concrete floor in the shade, doesn't like to get out as much. So if I take him out for a run, I usually do it really early in the morning or in the evening when the sun's, you know, down the horizon. I think that's the thing you have to take into consideration. You have to know your pet. And know what they're, you know, they can handle. You know, some dogs, is, you know, the heat, you know, is not as bothersome to them. Other dogs, it is.
And so, I mean, assessing your dog's fitness is imperative.
Oh, absolutely. They'll tell you, a lot of places will tell you, don't run with your dog until they're at least like a year old.
Right.
Maybe a little bit older. I took Whiskey for his first run when he was like 10 months, and we ran like 6 miles, and the dog like ran my legs off. I was like, this is crazy. This dog can just flat run. You know, he's a great dog for that. If you want to do that, he's a wonderful breed for that type of running. The bad side of that is, though, if you do it enough with him, he expects it every day.
Oh.
So he has a wonderful fitness level, but then if he doesn't get, you know, the opportunity to get his exercise out, he is wound tight all day long. And so that's the one thing I have found with him. It's kind of a balancing act, you know, because if I put my tennis shoes on and I grab the keys, he is all over top of me because he's ready to go. So I think that's, you know, what you have to do is definitely assess your dog's fitness level. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend taking your 50-pound, you know, your dog is 50 pounds overweight because you probably feed them cheeseburgers or things of that nature and not feeding them healthy. But out for the first run and it'd be 3 to 5 miles because they're probably not going to do real well. They'll probably make it because dogs tend to just figure out how to do it. But they're probably going to suffer in the process. So I think it is important. You have to gradually break them in. You just have to gradually break them in. Just like, you know, you didn't jump up off the sofa and go for a 10-mile run. You jump up off the sofa and, you know, you started slow. So same for your animals.
And just as you're saying, I mean, we kind of assess our own fitness and build up to where we want to be. Part of that also happens in the workout.
Oh, absolutely.
We need to allow dogs to warm up.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, it's like when, you know, going out for a run or a bike ride or a swim, usually you'll have or you know, doing CrossFit or TRX or whatever you're doing, you usually have a warm-up period to allow your muscles to relax a little bit, to get some blood flowing to them before you just take off full stride or full bore into something. And it's the same for your animal. Now, they are different than us. There's no question about that. But I think it's going to make for a healthier experience for them if you do the same exact thing. I mean, you're going to warm up. Take the time. Let them warm up with you. You know, don't expect them just to take off in a dead sprint. You know, some people I know are sprinters. That's what they do, you know, and they just take off and you're like, whoa, slow down a little bit. But that's just, I think it's, you know, it goes hand in hand with your animal as well. I mean, take that time with them, you know, just to let them warm up as well.
I love the dogs who will tell you when they're done.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just put the brakes on.
That just sit down.
They're just like, that was enough.
Yeah. I had one like that. She would just sit down and you're like, okay, I guess I'm carrying you back to the house. We've got a mile, so I'm carrying a dog for a mile.
Which is awesome.
Yeah. Yes. You know, so it is comical. Some of them, you know, will just say, enough's enough, I'm done. And, you know, they'll put the brakes on.
I don't believe in personifying our animals. They are animals. But they certainly have those personalities.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I mean, I think something when you're talking about deciding on the activity, yes, some dogs love to run and some dogs love to walk and some dogs love to play soccer.
Right.
But then there are the dogs who actually love to swim as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, there's definitely those breeds out there that just love to be in the water. And I think to not give them that opportunity is taking a little bit away from them, because they love to fetch or they love to be in the water. There's a lot of parks around here with lakes and, you know, and beaches and things you can take them to, you know, you can play fetch with them in the water. I mean, you know, take your retriever breeds. I mean, that's what they're, you know, they're designed to do. They're designed to be in the water and they enjoy that. And so I think that's something that we can do for them is whenever you find their activity, you know, make it an activity that you do with them, right, obviously, and do something fun with them and give them that opportunity as well. It, you know, I think anytime you do those kind of things, it makes for a healthier experience with your pet. I mean, if you're going to have a pet and you're going to be responsible for them, you know, it's like, I mean, to an extent, it's like having children. You're responsible for something that depends upon you, and you provide fun activities for them, and you shouldn't just have a pet to say you're a pet owner.
Right.
I think you need to be engaged to an extent with them. And you know, honestly, having an animal to, you know, a dog to, I mean, obviously people aren't out running with their cats. I haven't seen that before. But, you know, if you're going running with your dog or something like that, they're a great exercise partner.
They sure are.
They really are. I mean, it, you know, because there's times when you're like, oh, I don't have anybody to run with. Well, I can take Whiskey. You know, he'll go with me. He'll entertain me because he's liable to bark at something or chase something, or he'll keep it interesting, or he'll run me a little faster. You know, he'll run me faster than I want to run. So it's not a bad thing,
right,
but I think it's important that you try to find the activities that they enjoy as well.
And if you're someone like me and I detest talking when I'm running,
exactly,
talk is perfect.
Right, exactly.
Trying different games based on breeds. I mean, there are those dogs who will look at you like there's something wrong with you because you just, right, threw that ball and you're pointing it. Like, what do you want me to,
right,
do? Like,
exactly,
you go get that.
Exactly.
But I mean, again, you discovered that Whiskey likes to play soccer.
Right.
So trying different games.
I mean, absolutely. Whether, you know, there's so many resources out on the internet, mm-hmm, to just, you can look your breed up, even if it's a mixed breed dog, you know, you can look up kind of, and you'll figure out what their personalities are.
Right.
You know your animal. And I think it's, you know, just spend 20 or 30 minutes looking on the internet. You can find different games to play with those breeds, things that they like doing. You know, Whiskey likes to play fetch. And likes to play soccer. Does he always give me the ball back because he doesn't quite understand to give me the ball back?
Right.
Not really. Does he, with the soccer ball and running around the yard and herding the kids, that just is kind of natural to him. He knows what he's doing,
love
you know.
That.
And it's kind of, you know, it's fun to watch. But, you know, when it comes to the, you know, the other breeds, I think you just have to kind of spend a little time researching, figuring it out, and incorporate those kind of activities into your activity. You know, if you go for, maybe a run with them because you're wanting to run, take a ball. Maybe they like to fetch,
right,
you know, and take a ball along with you. Chuck it a couple of times. They're probably going to, if they're good at it, they're going to bring it back to you. They might keep on running. Who knows?
That's true. But I also like, I mean, sometimes I like a workout that it's not, this wasn't a fun workout, just one for myself.
Right.
But I challenged myself and I exceeded my expectations or met a goal. But with dogs in particular, it needs to be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what it's all about for them. It's all about fun. I mean, you know, some dogs really get into agility things,
mm-hmm,
you know. You know, some dogs get into the, you know, to fetching, some dogs, they're catching frisbees or things of that nature. I think it needs to be fun and rewarding for them as well. You know, because I get a lot of reward out of, you know, just watching, you know, Whiskey do things I didn't think he could do. I'm like, wow, that's actually pretty cool. He's a lot smarter than I thought he was, you know, because sometimes I think he's not very bright, but then he always amazes me. But, you know, I think that's very important. It's just for them, they want to be with you. I guarantee you they want to be with you. Most of the time when you come home, most people will say their dog will get up and greet them at the door if they're an inside, or if they're an outside dog and they pull up in the driveway, the dog's tail's wagging. They're excited to see them. Somebody's home, do something. So I think that's the whole thing, you know, behind it is you just, it needs to be fun and rewarding for them. So they'll enjoy it. So
I've even had some people who've gone on diets with their dogs.
Nice.
You know, and stopped feeding them the cheeseburgers,
right,
and so it becomes kind of fun to be able to,
right,
get fit with your pet.
Right.
I have to ask you, though, how did you name Whiskey?
My daughter did, which is the funniest thing in the world. His name was going to be Brixton, and she couldn't remember that. I don't really know how Brixton came about. I can't even remember that. But she was, you know, Daddy, what's his name, Whiskey, or what is it? And I'm like, Yep, that's his name. That's perfect. And that was about after I had him.
So that was perfect timing.
It was about the time I got the papers on him, get them all filled out and everything. And I, you know, filled out all the papers. So it was Whiskey. So she actually named Whiskey.
So she named Whiskey and Sparkles.
And Sparkles. I'm not real sure how Sparkles came about.
I like your daughter. She's diverse.
Yeah, she's extremely diverse. Yes, very diverse.
Regardless of what the temperatures or the weather is like outside, hydration, that's key.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, I always use myself as an example. I'm outside, I'm doing an activity, I get thirsty, I take a drink. You know, it's the same for your animal. They get thirsty, their tongue hangs out. That's their way of sweating, obviously, and, you know, cooling down. So get them something to drink, what you got to do. I mean, it's something you really, really need to do. I think, you know, we probably don't give our animals enough, you know, water whenever we're doing activities with them. So, because we forget. I mean, we just forget. You know, you're out at the dog park, and you're running around, and then you leave, and you throw them in the car, and you go to Thornton's, and you get some water. And then you forget about them, you know, and then they're in your car for another hour or something of that nature while you're out running errands or something, you know, something like that. So I think we just forget and just, you know, keep it in mind. And they have those collapsible portable, you know, water bowls and food bowls that you can get at any feeder supply that you can keep in your car, keep in your car door. You know, don't forget, you know, they're there.
I have one that fits my water belt for running, and it's got its own bottle and its own little tray, and you can just pour it right in there.
Right.
And got that from Feeder Supply, and I'm not trying to give anyone, I guess, any more publicity over another, but one of my most favorite bowls is called the Buddy Bowl. I carry that everywhere.
Yeah, it works.
And it doesn't spill in the car.
Right.
I can turn it upside down over my head, and then water's not coming out. And that has been a tremendous tool, especially during the summertime.
Right, right. Absolutely. I think that's the stuff. You just spend some time. Just like you go to Target for yourself, you can go by Feeder Supply or any other pet store, see what they have. You can usually talk to the employees there. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to help you out. You know, so that's what they're there for. So you should utilize those resources. You can also go and find, you know, I mean, whether it be on the internet or go to your local pet stores, and there's tons of resources there, books on different ways to exercise with your animal, different activities for your animals, different things you can do to keep them happy as well. Because, you know, as long as they're happy in the house, they're usually not howling at night. They usually sleep a little bit better. They're not up walking the hardwood floors in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock because they have a lot of anxious energy because they've had the opportunity to, you know, get that energy out during the day. They're no different than you or I. I mean, you know, if you don't get to work out, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row, you get a little edgy. You need to get, and they're the same. They get a little edgy on edge, I think. So I think it's good that you get them out and do things with them.
And when you have questions about that, I think the Kentucky Humane Society is doing a tremendous job, not only of rescuing and, you know, saving animals and adopting them and fostering them and all of that, but as a resource for people who have questions about where do I go or how do I figure out what kind of an activity for this breed. So I always like to tout them as a local resource.
Absolutely. Great resource, most definitely.
And what about the post-workout reward? What do you suggest?
You know, that's one area that I always give Whiskey some kind of treat usually. Whatever. You know, he doesn't have anything in particular that's his favorite because he's obviously his dog. He's food motivated. Mm-hmm. What animal's not food motivated? But he's not overly food motivated. So, you know, I'll give him, sometimes he just has, you know, little beef jerky strips or raw hide things to chew on or, you know, peanut butter and a Kong or something like that that he might, you know, eat. Little things like that that he really, really enjoys. And so, you know, simple things like that, you know. Or he gets to go back and be with Sparkles, his mate. So
Whiskey and Sparkles.
Yes.
What else do you need?
That's it. I've got it all. This brings me great joy during the day.
So. Oh, well, I love this. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport. Come out and see him, then you might be able to meet Whiskey. I don't think Sparkles will be there.
No,
though.
Sparkles will not be there. Whiskey's there every day at the shop. So.
Well, yeah, definitely need to meet Whiskey in person. Thanks for listening. This is Get Fit Louisville.